Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levensold, your host for this series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, October 10th, 2013, the 19th day of autumn. We have lost 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 37 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 7:01 this morning. It will set at 6:22 this evening. We will have 11 hours and 21 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 12:53 this afternoon. That's in 2 hours and a half about, a little less. It will set 1 minute past midnight tomorrow morning. First quarter is tomorrow. Next full moon is October 18th, 1 week from tomorrow. Now, a regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. 4 soldiers were killed in a single incident on October 6th, just 4 days ago, during a night combat mission in Kandahar province, Afghanistan. The operation prevented a high-profile suicide bombing attack in Kandahar City, where the suspected suicide bomber detonated a bomb near the assault force. Then when the assault force reacted and came to that area, they were struck by a series of explosions, killing all 4. That's an old ploy that criminals and terrorists use. They do a fake bomb, and then they really get you. That was a big tragedy. The 4 who were killed in this way on that date are First Lieutenant Jennifer M. Moreno, age 25, from San Diego, California. And in fact, today's guest is from San Diego as well. Lieutenant Moreno was a nurse and assigned to the Madigan Army Medical Center. Private First Class Cody J. Patterson, age 24, from Philomath, Oregon. He was with the 75th Ranger Regiment. And for those who don't know, Rangers are the most highly trained paratroopers, and they are probably in the same category as Navy SEALs, and we'll talk about Navy SEALs in a bit. Sergeant Joseph M. Peters, age 24, of Springfield, Missouri. He was with the 5th Military Police Battalion. Sergeant Patrick C. Hawkins, age 25, of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, also with the 75th Rangers. And in another incident, Lance Corporal, Marine Lance Corporal, Jeremiah M. Collins, age 19, of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He was with the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force, killed in combat in Helmand Province on October 5th. And Staff Sergeant Thomas Allen Basor, Jr., age 31, of Milton, Pennsylvania. He was a Screaming Eagle with the 101st Airborne Division, killed by an individual wearing an Afghan Army uniform in Paktia province on September 26th. So apparently the Taliban infiltrates and does their dirty deed that way. These 5 American servicemen and 1 American servicewoman were alive on the date of our last broadcast 2 weeks ago. Sergeant Basor was killed on that very day, perhaps while we were on the air. American men and women are at risk for grave injury and death at this very moment and every moment until the war comes to an end. Each death is a great loss to their family and to all Americans. I look forward to the day when the war in Afghanistan and this feature come to an end, because there are no more deaths to report. Just a special note while we're talking about casualties. Nicholas Oresco died at the age of 96. He was a Medal of Honor recipient. He was at the Battle of the Bulge in World War II, hit by German fire, but single-handedly wiped out 2 machine gun positions, killing 12 enemy soldiers. His lone assault enabled his unit to take the hill with minimum casualties. Medal of Honor winner Nicholas Oresco dies at the age of 96 very, very honorably. We thank him. Okay, time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Well, I saw the movie Prisoners, at least part of it. Less than an hour into this movie, I walked out. So a word about reviews. A review is an essay, an opinion about something. There is no right or wrong. Everything is liked by somebody. Everything is disliked by somebody. There is no accounting for taste. So I read a review of this movie where the reviewer's wife walked out 40 minutes in. She asked if he was leaving too. He said he could not leave because he had to write about it. Well, yes, you can. Nowhere in the reviewer's manual does it say you can't write a review about something you don't sit all the way through. When your head starts to ache and your stomach gets queasy because of gratuitous violence and gore, it is time to check out. I don't pay 10 bucks to be tortured. The question which emerges here is, how far would you go if your child was kidnapped? And I don't know how far I would go as a father, but I do know how far to go as a filmmaker. Denis Villeneuve does not. Hugh Jackman plays the father very well. Jake Gyllenhaal is less convincing as the detective. Whatever thought-provoking questions of morality, loyalty, law-abiding citizenry, which might be pondered, are ground into the dirt by the ugly boot of overdone sensationalism. This is a terrible movie. 0 stars. Don't see it. My guest today is Scott McEwen, author of 2 novels, American Sniper and Sniper Elite. Sniper Elite is the more recent book published just in June. Speaking to us from San Diego, welcome Scott McEwen.
Thank you very much for having me on, and I apologize the last time. I make errors every now and then in my scheduling, and that was my big error the last time, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I made a mistake once, too, so I understand. Thanks for coming on, Scott. We do appreciate it. The book, Sniper Elite, was a great read, and it's got a very nice, colorful cover as well. But it is a novel. So you actually wrote about Black Ops, and just tell us briefly what Black Ops are and how you are so familiar with them and how much of Sniper Elite is based on fact, and just whatever you can tell us that is not privileged information.
Well, I think, you know, given, and first of all, my thoughts and prayers go out to those family members that have just lost troops in Afghanistan that you aptly, you know, brought to the attention of your listeners, and that's a great job, and I think more shows should do what you do, and that is to let people know that we still got boots on the ground in harm's way, and we are still losing, you know, soldiers and in those areas, and you know, and we've got to think about and every day do what we can to protect and support those people. So great job, and I give you kudos for bringing that up on your show.
Thanks very much.
And I find it interesting as well that you note in the loss that we have there that we have the loss of a lieutenant, you know, in the that was a nurse in that group that we just lost in Afghanistan. Then you have to query for a moment, you know, what exactly happened there and why that lieutenant was taken out in the circumstance of a bomb. It sounded like they had a bomb that went off on 4 of them, why she was in harm's way there. But it really brings up the, you know, the reason for Sniper Elite, and that is that we do have women in, you know, in harm's way in situations that people don't realize. The Pentagon has made a decision, right or wrong, and I'm not arguing that one way or the other, to put women in frontline battle roles. And that's really what Sniper Elite was about. It's about a female helicopter pilot in the 160th SOAR that's taken prisoner by the Taliban. And some decisions that are made by SEAL team guys to go in and get her out at all costs. And either she comes out with them or she dies with them, but she's not going to be tortured on television and basically killed by the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, you know, in that circumstance.
So now, your character in the book is Sandra Brooks. Was that based by any chance on Jessica Lynch, or was it partly? Or?
Well, there's parts of Jessica Lynch in this book,
okay,
you know, when it comes to her story. Not Jessica Lynch herself, but a lot of people don't realize that Jessica Lynch was rescued by SEALs. And they're not the ones that were on TV after the incident took place. They're not the guys that, you know, got on the TV when they came in with the cameras and stuff, but they're the ones that did the dirty work to get it done.
Okay.
And, you know, there's parts of Jessica Lynch's story. There's parts of other stories in this book that the public will never hear. And the reason being is they've classified that for whatever reason, those ops. And I felt that the ops are every bit as compelling. And as long as we don't violate any operational security or compromise any of our troops in reporting about them, that I feel that those ops should be reported and should be at least memorialized in fiction.
Okay, Scott,
you can't use it.
Scott, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back with you. Please hang on. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you are listening in San Diego, California, or Afghanistan, I lost my list, sorry. You have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. Do I have time, Gerald? Okay. Springfield, Missouri, Ohio, Illinois, or Massachusetts, San Diego, Sacramento, or San Bernardino, California, and we will be right back.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Lillian Wu. A new development in the fiscal crisis in Washington. House Republican leaders are considering the possibility of a short-term debt limit increase the day they hold a face-to-face with the president at the White House. Meanwhile, the Treasury Secretary leveling a warning at a Senate panel on the debt ceiling deadline.
Secretary Liu was asked several times, what would the government pay and not pay if the government runs out of borrowing authority.
Senator, what I'm telling you is there's no good solution if Congress fails to raise the debt limit.
Liu says the federal system is not constructed to allow them to pick and choose which bills to pay.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson. Two out of three ex-football players at the U.S. Naval Academy will face a court-martial in a sex assault case. And the number of people filing first-time jobless claims last week spiking to 374,000, half of those claims.
Due to California still working through some computer conversions.
Fox Business Network's Diane Macedo. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Fox News on your time. The Fox News iPad app is ready to go with all the great features from FoxNews.com and our iPhone app optimized specifically for your iPad. Watch the latest clips from your favorite Fox News shows. Personalize the app by creating your own newscast using the video playlist. Listen to Fox News Radio live. Get local weather forecasts. And it's all free. Go to FoxNews2Go.mobi. That's Fox News, the number 2, go.mobi.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Shopping our way to health, we can only do it at ShopRite because they have introduced this registered dietitian program. ShopRite's already known for the prices. People are already coming here for the value. They're coming here for the freshness of the meat. They have their ground today, sold today policy with the meat. There's USDA fish inspection that happens on a daily basis with the fishmonger. You already have every single reason to come to ShopRite. You've known for all these decades why you come to ShopRite in the first place. Now you have a whole new reason to come here, and that is the registered dietitian program, and figure out the best way to implement all of the healthy and cost-effective shopping that can be done here and literally shop your way to health in White Plains. You can also go to Tuckahoe Road and you can go to New Rochelle and find the same registered dietitians. Stop in, make a phone call, make an appointment, have a conversation, start that process of making better choices on a daily and eventually on a meal-by-meal basis, and you can, in fact, shop your way to health. You can only do it at ShopRite.
Modern Hardware has been a fixture on Huguenot Street since 1926. That's 87 years, making Modern Hardware the oldest hardware store in New Rochelle. And Modern Hardware has so much for so many, with a complete list of hardware items, including Benjamin Moore paints with every color in the rainbow. Everything easily found. Also, special orders taken care of immediately, because Modern Hardware is known for quality service and superb products. Open 7 days a week with free parking. Modern's general manager, Maura McCosker, knows everything because she has been there, believe it or not, since she was 12 years old. Everyone knows and respects Maura. Owners Elliot Krakow and Vincent Farrell are so proud of their hardware store, which really is more than a hardware store. So go on over now for everything you'll need for every season of the year. Conveniently located at 316 Huguenot Street, more than a hardware store, and ask for more.
Go global on WVOX.com. Call David O'Shaughnessy for more information. 914-636-1460.
WVOX.
Okay, we are back. My guest is Scott McEwen, author of Sniper Elite, And but before we get back into the subject matter, I neglected to ask you the question I ask all my guests who are out of town. Scott, what is the weather like in San Diego?
Well, you know, we just got done with a rainstorm, our first rainstorm of the year.
Yes.
And or I should say of the fall. And it rained pretty hard last night, although it's clearing up right now. There's supposedly a little bit more of this storm coming down. But anytime we get rain in Southern California, particularly during the fire season, which is about to begin right now, we're happy.
Well, it never rains in California, but boy, don't they warn you, it pours. How's it go? Yes,
yeah, I think that's how it goes, something like that. But it poured last night, which I was very happy about.
Okay, we'll get back to Sniper Elite in just a bit, but let me talk about Chris Kyle. He was a friend of yours. He was co-author of your first novel, American Sniper, and he was murdered by an ex-Marine at a shooting range in Texas. That must have been devastating to you. What happened? And Chris also was the sniper with the most confirmed kills of anyone, perhaps more than Carlos Hathcock, I'm not sure. His regrets are just simply that he could not save more Americans and innocent civilians. How did it affect you, Scott?
Well, it was devastating. And my thoughts still go out to Tay and the kids and the loss that they've incurred there. That was his wife and his two children. I can't explain that, and I can't figure that out, and I don't know that I ever will figure that out in my mind. The circumstances that led up to it were, just completely crazy, and, the shooting was crazy, and, I think the guy that did the shooting is
crazy.
Nearly certainly, definitely criminal, but maybe crazy as well. Oh, I don't know, but it's just a tragic event, and I just can't put it all together.
Yeah, and that happened fairly recently?
It happened on February 2nd.
Of this year?
Yes.
Another moment of reflection. He was a great hero, and he's, there's nothing else. I mean, it's just senseless. Okay, so we don't have a whole lot of time, and we do have a whole lot to talk about. So let's just move on. You wrote this novel based on black ops, black operations, the kind that took Bin Laden down. And there's a new book, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, called Takedown by Philip Mudd. Do you know that book?
Yeah, I mean, I think people got to realize, and we just saw another glimpse of it, too, with the op that was done in Benghazi, which, by the way, or in Libya this week. I don't know why these things are being reported so quickly. I think it's very inappropriate that the administration is letting this information out immediately, because it's not the type of thing that you should let out, or the team that did it should be let out. I mean, it's sensitive stuff, and if it's in the past and it's not going to affect operational security or the security of those that were involved in the op itself, then so be it. But there's no reason to say that SEAL Team 6 hit some bad guy from a terrorist network the week or the day after it happens. There's just no reason for that, and I think people should take note of the fact that it's not appropriate, in my opinion, that these things be announced. Not so much that he's been captured. That's okay. But you don't finger and out, if you will, the team that did it. So I'm against that. I was against it when it happened with Bin Laden, that SEAL Team 6 was named on that. And, the fact that we lost, 17 members of SEAL Team 6 about 90 days later in the Afghanistan, in the Hindu Kush, in an operation called Extortion 17, does not go without notes. These people are not stupid. They have intelligence. They have computers. They have the ability to figure stuff out, and they hold long grudges. So just keep that in mind when we're out in these different groups that are doing these jobs for us.
Well, there's a comparison here with the CIA. They never tell you which of their operatives have been killed. They just put an anonymous star in the lobby of their building in Washington, and that's it, right?
Exactly. And I think we need to get back to that. I think we need to get back to that operational security. And, I really believe that it's necessary that we do it instead of using these stops for political purposes and say, look, see, we did something. Here these guys are, whatever, to try and make themselves associated with it, because that's exactly what I believe the current administration does.
Well, they get a wag of the finger for that one. SEAL Team, SEAL Team 6 is the ones that got Bin Laden.
Exactly.
And perhaps we shouldn't even know what the number of the team was or who did it, just that the American military did it, period. That should be enough. But go ahead, Scott. What I'm curious about is how much did Pakistan actually know? I mean, were they Were they helping Bin Laden to hide, or were they just ignorant of his presence? It's hard to believe because he was in such a well reinforced compound; they could not notice.
Well, I think possibly the more appropriate question is, how high up did the knowledge go? There's no doubt about it that they knew that this guy was there. At least somebody knew, you know. And the question is, what level of military or political, knew, and how high up it went? Did it go to the president? Did it go to the vice president? Did it go to the prime minister? Did it go to, you know, a general in the region? I don't know that. I don't have an answer to that question. But there's certainly somebody that knew. I mean, this guy is too high value a person to not know. And, you know, and they certainly, somebody knew. So the question is, how high did it go? And then what do you do with that information? I mean, a lot of these governments we deal with right now, let's face it, you know, they're not exactly, you know, the most upstanding and moral group of people. You know, not that maybe we have the moral high ground, but I hope to think that our country does take the moral high ground more times than not. And I certainly don't think that some of the people we deal with do the same thing.
Okay, now on the question of ransoms, there were kidnappings, of course. Ransoms are paid. European countries admit this, millions a year. We state publicly that we will never negotiate with terrorists. But do you have any contrary knowledge? Have we actually paid terrorists ransoms?
Well, I think that there's certainly circumstances where terrorist organizations are paid. Now, the United States takes the position that they don't do it. There's information that indicates that's not always the case. And whether you pay up front or whether you prisoner exchange or whatever you do, there's quid pro quo that goes on. And I'm not saying it doesn't have to happen under certain circumstances, but that's one of the things we confront in Sniper Elite is, you know, when you pay, sometimes when you pay, you don't get what you're paid for anyway. So you make the decision to pay, but that doesn't guarantee that whoever you're trying to get back, you're going to get back. And that's exactly the circumstance we have in Sniper Elite, where they attempt to pay, and really they're just dealing with a different group of thugs and right. thieves that they actually do pay before the SEAL teams have to do what they have to do to extract the individual.
Right. Now, the name
of query for a moment, if that lieutenant that was killed, unfortunately, you know, in this week or last week in Afghanistan, if they had taken her prisoner, the Taliban, what would we have done under that circumstance? And that's exactly the scenario
that
I create.
That's the scenario in the book. And the book is Sniper Elite, the author Scott McEwen, with whom we are speaking now. It's a very fine read, very interesting. It makes you wonder what goes on because it's very true to life. I'm sure it's based on things that you know. And a couple of things I would like to ask. First of all, Sniper Elite is going to be made into a major motion picture. Congratulations on that. Ridley Scott, a very well-known director, will direct it. And I'd also like briefly in the minute and a half we have left to just tell us your involvement with the SEAL Team Foundation.
Yeah, okay. Great group of people, legitimate. In other words, there's no overhead of people taking salaries, that kind of a thing. This thing is just money goes from the donations to the families of those that have lost members. The SEAL Teams, a lot of it goes to kids that are trying to get into college, that we create things to try and help the fund to get these kids into college. So as far as I'm concerned, as far as donations are concerned, if you want to put time or money into something, SEAL Team Foundation is a great group to donate to. I support them 100% in all my activities and give percentages of all appearances to them and also fallen SEALs.
And this is these are the families of fallen SEALs.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part.
The SEAL Team Foundation puts kids of fallen SEALs, SEALs who have lost their lives in combat.
Exactly.
Okay, we have just a short time left, but I'd like you to tell us a little bit about Sniper Elite as a major motion picture. Is it coming out tomorrow? I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with the way things are going. Ridley is doing a good job of bringing out the book into a movie, and I'm really, really excited about his vision. I mean, the guy's obviously a master filmmaker.
Yes, he is.
You know, American Sniper's on its way as well with
cool.
Warner Brothers, and
cool.
It looks like the talks are pretty strong right now with Clint Eastwood to take over directing that film.
Okay, well, I'm
very happy that Chris's thing will be there. And in addition, right now, Sniper Elite is book of the month on Amazon, or it's just an ebook of the month, and they dropped the price on it from over $10 to $2
okay,
a
Scott,
copy for Kindle.
Scott, I got to cut you off. We have to go. I look forward to seeing both of those movies, and perhaps we'll have you back on at that time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Scott. We're about out of time. Our thought for the week, it is easier to fight for one's principles than to live up to them. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now.
The local station with a national reputation.
This is the greatest station ever.
AM 1460 WVOX and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.